In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My adorable Jesus, may our feet journey together. Make our hands gather in unity. Make our hearts beat in unison. Make our souls be in harmony. Make our thoughts be as one. Make our ears listen to a silence together. May our glances profoundly penetrate each other. May our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. And we ask our Heavenly Father to send His Holy Spirit upon us as we read the Book of Heaven, the sections of Adam. May we gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of this divine science for the praise and glory of His name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, today we will do section 71 from the Book of Adam.
Okay. February 17th, 1929, volume 25. My daughter, you must know that in my divine will, there is the permissive act and the wanted act. In the fall of Adam, there was the permissive act, but not wanted by it. And in the permissive act, the light, the heat, and the multiplicity of colors of my divine will place themselves aside and remain untouchable without meddling in the human act. In the wanted act instead, they form one single act and one single thing. Does the light of the sun become stained because it passes over rubbish? Certainly not. Light remains always light, and rubbish remains rubbish. On the contrary, light triumphs over everything and remains untouchable by anything, regardless of whether they trample upon it or whether it invests the dirtiest things, because things extraneous to light do not enter into its life of light. My divine will is more than sun. Like light, it flows in all human acts, but it remains untouchable by all evils of creatures. And only those who want to be light, warmth, and colors, that is, those who want to live only and always of its divine will, can enter into it. Anything else does not belong to it. Therefore, you can be sure that you did not enter into the fall of Adam, because his fall was not an act of light, but of darkness, and one shuns the other. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. There are some passages from the Book of Heaven that sometimes we need to have the context in which our Lord Jesus is talking to Luisa. And this is one of them, this passage that comes from volume 25. This is only a section of that revelation that our Lord gives to her. I will recommend that you go and look at this passage to read the whole thing, to have the context in which our Lord is talking, because that way you can understand this passage more clear. But there are two things here that a lot of people use when studying the divine will, and I think many times these two things are misinterpreted. Our Lord Jesus is talking about the permissive act and the wanted act. I think one of the best ways to explain also this passage, these two things, the permissive act and the wanted act, is through the Gospels, actually. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, There we have the parable of the prodigal son, and basically from 11 all the way till 24, we see this passage. I'm just going to read it so that through this passage in the gospel, we are able to understand these two things that many times they are misunderstood or misused with the people when they use these two terms. So basically it's the parable of the prodigal son, and our Lord gives this parable and he says, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that falls to me. And he divided his living between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have fed on the pots that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? But I perish here with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and marry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. That's the parable of the prodigal son. If you see in this gospel, the son asked for the inheritance, and the father basically consented. He allowed. It was not really the wish of the father, but he allowed it because he respected the free will of his son. In this passage of the Book of Heaven, when the Lord speaks about the permissive act and the wanted act, many people, they confuse this and they use the permissive act, which is basically an act that is not united to the will of God. So our Lord is talking about these two things in the person of Adam. When I say that many people, they misuse this term and use it and confuse it, is because I have heard from the groups, people that say, oh, because that was God's permissive act. So basically blaming God for what the creature does. So that's basically a misinterpretation. Because God, he gives us free will. And when he's talking about Adam here, remember that Adam was in the possession of the will of God. That's why I ask for you to go back when you have a chance and read this passage, because in this passage, Luisa Picaretta really explains about Adam possessing the gift of the will of God operating in him. And the divine will consenting the human and the divine all together. So that's what we call the wanted act. The divine will wants it. Here in this passage, it says, my daughter, you must know that in the divine will, there is the permissive act and the wanted act. So basically, the permissive act of Adam was his act separated from the will of God. That was his first permissive act, that he acted separately from the will of God. He abandoned that will of God and he decided to operate apart, separate from the will of God. That's the permissive act. It says, but not wanted by it. When it says by it, it means the divine will. In the fall of Adam, there was the permissive act, but not wanted by it. This it is the divine will. So he did it, but the divine will didn't want to, couldn't operate in that act. So many people, sometimes they say, oh, because it's the permissive act of God. So basically blaming God for things that we do. No, it's not the fault of God. Because he gave us free will, he allows us to use that free will in union with him or apart from him. So you see in the gospel that we read, the fathers allowed the son to go. He respected that free will that he possessed. It was not the fault of the father that the son went away. One can say, well, it was the fault of the fathers. It was not the fault of the father. It is a product of the actions of the son, that he received his inheritance. He asked for his inheritance. And he went and he squandered his inheritance. Then he found himself in dire need. That act of departing, that is the permissive act. Also, sometimes the Lord uses the term also permissive will. That he allows you, because he gave us free will, he will never take that away from us. He allows you, he allows all of us to exercise that free will in union with him or apart from him. When we use it in union with him, is the wanted act. And it has to be something that it is not sin. He will explain later. The permissive act is what he allows you to do and separate from his will, because you have that free will. Now, it says here that, and in the permissive act, the light, the hidden, the multiplicity of colors of my divine will place themselves inside and remain untouched. Inside where? Inside the human act of Adam. And yes, that light, the multiplicity, it remained untouched. It says, without meddling in the human art, in the wanted art, instead they form one single act and one single thing. So in this wanted act, when we give the divine will the field of action through our acts, then The divine will operating in us, and the divine will doesn't become less. It works through our, it operates through our actions, through our acts, but it is not diminished by the human will. It remains as it is. It elevates that human action. It covers, we can say, that human action, and it becomes one. The two wills, they become one. So one thing, one single thing. Then it says, thus the light of the sun becomes unstained because it passes, excuse me. He asked the question, does the light of the sun become unstained because it passes over rubbish? Certainly not. Light remains always light. So when the divine will operates through us, even we are humans, the divine will remains untouched. What changes is our act, is the one thing that changes. We don't change, we don't affect basically the divine will. The divine will affect us, change us through our acts. It says, on the contrary, light triumphs over everything and remains untouched by anything, regardless of whether they trample upon it or whether it invests the dirty things. Because things extraneous to light do not enter into its life of light. So here we find that all those things that do not belong to the divine will, they cannot enter in the life of the divine will. Basically what the catechism tells us in 521, that everything Jesus lived, he enables us to live in him, and he can live it in us again. So all the acts that are not in the state of grace, sinful acts, the divine will cannot operate in those acts. We can say that those sinful acts, those are permissive acts. And everything that we do separated from the divine will, everything that does not go in line with the divine will, then that's a permissive act that by virtue of possessing a human will, freedom, we are allowed to do that. But since the beginning, it was not designed to happen like that. But it's a product of the fall. It's a consequence of the fall. So now here, the call for us to go back to that original state of grace in which we were created, to arrive to the possession of the divine will operating in us, then so that it can be only the wanted act in us, that every single act that we do may be a wanted act, wanted by the divine will. Otherwise, the divine will cannot operate if it's not it is something contrary to God, if it's something contrary to the Ten Commandments, basically, the divine will cannot operate in those acts. So those become the permissive acts, and it's not the fall of God. Because this is the confusion that many people, they fall into, that they say, well, that's the permissive will of God. God allowed it to do it, therefore basically it's his fault. No, that's heresy. That's a misinterpretation. Because God gave us free will, he will always respect that free will. But he's constantly calling us, using all means, the sacraments, the church, to call us back, to go back to that state of grace, always. Now this writings, they call us not only to go back to the state of grace, to a state of grace, but to go back to the original state of grace. That's the big difference. So in the church, you know, we always hear, go to confession, be in the state of grace. That's the way. Here, is the call is to go back to the original state of grace. And to go back to the original state of grace, we need to pass through the sacraments, through the church. So it says then, my divine will is more than sun, like light. It flows in all human acts. This is very important. It flows in all human acts. Of course, we say all those acts that are not against one of the Ten Commandments. It is through the human acts that the divine will operates in the creatures. It is through the human acts that the divine will is able to expand our souls, our capacity to receive more and more and more. And the divine will remains untouched. It doesn't change. It's light. And since it's light, it has the power to burn everything that does not belong to the divine will in the creature. That's why the more acts we do in the divine will, the more we let the divine will operate in us, we will be able to be basically sanctified more and more and more. Because remember, this is the one who operates here also is the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is the action of the Holy Spirit operating through us. And the action of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify us, to make us holy, totally set apart for God. Because the creature was designed to be totally for God, to run with that divine life in us 24/7. This is what the Catechism tells us in 375. It was a participation of that divine life. What Adam possessed. The original state of grace was nothing else than the participation of the divine life, running the divine life, running 24/7 in the creatures, which constituted the wanted act. Every single act consented in union with the divine will was a wanted act. As soon as he departed from that union, then that's the permissive act. So it flows, it says it flows, so the divine will flows in all human acts, but it remains untouched by all evils of creatures. And only those who want to be light, warm in colors, that is, those who want to live only and always of its divine will, can enter into it. O sea, into it means the divine will. Only those who want to live in this way can enter in that are basically good. All those acts that are against one of the Ten Commandments, they cannot, the divine will cannot operate in there. So anything else does not belong to the divine will. Therefore, you can be sure that you did not enter into the fall of Adam. In this passage, you go back and you read the context is that Luisa Picarreta is doing the acts, following the acts in the divine will, and she arrives at the moment of creation and our Lord explains to her that she was present at the moment of creation and all of that. And she feels that then she also participated in the fall of Adam. So that's why the Lord explains this. He says, because the fall of Adam was not an act of light. We can say that all those acts in union with divine will are acts, we can say, with light, that contain light. Remember volume 14, the Lord says, every single act is one sun, one more beautiful than the other, one more refulgent than the others, that contains light. So all the acts in the divine will, they are light. And all the acts that are apart from the divine will, he says, they are dark. They don't possess the light of the divine will. So therefore, they stay in darkness. Because the human will separate from the divine will can only produce darkness. And the Lord says, and if those acts, if they are good, pious and all of that, if they have some good, and they have some good, because good in itself possesses light, it says, but that light that the human acts produce apart or separated from the divine will, they cannot be compared at all with the acts done in the divine will. Because the acts done in the divine will, they possess the fountain of everything that exists, basically the fountain of light. So there is the two acts, and this is very important. This is one of the key passages, actually, to understand also the Book of Heaven, because many times people they misunderstand this passage, and the tendency is that they blame God for what we do, basically blaming God for the fall of Adam. And no, that is because Adam, he possessed the divine will. He remained in freedom. It was his choice. And since God will always respect that free will that he gave us, and we see it in the gospel, Jesus basically tells us this in the gospel of the parable of the prodigal son, is one of the teachings of Jesus. And in that gospel, we see that the free will is always there. God always will always respect the human will. Then that's important to understand the whole way of living in the divine will too. That's one of the key passages. So if you have time, just try to go to the Book of Heaven and volume 25 and read the whole passage and try to understand and then meditate it. Maybe we can go to the letters today. We can read a couple of letters before we finish today.
Letter number 13. To Father Bernardo of the Most Holy Hearts from Assisi. Fiat in voluntate Dei. Most esteemed one in the Lord, what I recommend to you is to look at the divine will in all things, both the favorable and the adverse, painful, sorrowful ones, and in the contrasts of life, which no one lacks. Rather, Blessed Jesus allows them in order to form the little rocks on which to raise the building of sanctity within us, since without the cross, we would lack the primary element of becoming saints. Saying I don't mean to become a saint means that you rely too much on yourself, and you look at yourself instead of abandoning yourself in the arms of Jesus. Lean on him, and you will see that all things, pains, crosses, miseries, weaknesses, the very defects and illness will lose their look and will all turn into messengers and bearers of sanctity. Sweet Jesus gave you everything to make you a saint. Call to religion, crosses, nourishment. And if you sin and are not holy, do you want to know the cause? Lack of union with Jesus. Union with Jesus floors all sins. Love kills all passions, and abandonment in him and trust are the nourishment in order to grow in sanctity. Here is the means to sin no more, to be united with Jesus, love him, and always do his will. Don't think about the past. This harms you a great deal. Rather, even today, begin your life with Jesus and you will find out for yourself how all things change for you. You will feel like another man, born again in all that is holy. Lastly, I tell you that if Jesus made me right as many as two times, which I do for almost no one, it is because he loves you and wants you a saint. Therefore, I beg you to do the deeds. I leave you in the divine volition, clasped within the arms of Jesus, the little daughter of the divine will. Corrado, October 9th, 1934. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You see that Luisa Picarreta is, we can call her one of the masters in spirituality. Of course, formed and taught by our Lord Jesus in these private revelations given to her. We see that the doctrine of the divine will really gives light and it really infuses the knowledge of what the divine will is, and she's able to transmit this way of living in a very simple way. Lean on Jesus, lean on him. Then lack of union with Jesus, lack of union with Jesus is what makes us sin. You know why you are not holy, or you fall into sin, because the lack of union with Jesus. And now that we are studying the writings of Adam, focusing on Adam before the fall, basically we see that this is so true, that before Adam decided to exercise his human will apart from the will of God in which he was placed. You read the lessons of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she explains this in one of the lessons, that Adam, the only thing that he had to do was to remain in the place he was created by obeying to remain there and not to eat from that tree. But he was in the possession of that will, in that unity. And we see that as soon as he exercised his will separate apart from that place in which he was created, then that becomes a sin, the disobedience. And then we see the rest of the degradation of men, basically, both physically and spiritually. And we know because we live it. And this is what Jesus came to heal and to bring us back, to go back to the possession of that union. So for us, it's a journey. Because basically Adam didn't have to begin a journey. He was created in the possession of that union. We have to begin a journey and it begins in baptism for us. In confirmation, we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and then through the other sacraments, we receive that divine life in us. So it's a process for us. We sin, we fall, we go back to confession. 15 minutes later, we fall again, right? And that's the life of grace, that we are called to go back always. It's a journey for us, but through these writings, the Lord teaches us that He wants us to go, to be not only in the state of grace, but to go back to the original state of grace. And for us to arrive to that state, we have to arrive to the possession. To arrive to the possession, first of all, we have to know that this doctrine, these writings, they exist. We have to know it. Then, as the Lord says, as we know it, every single truth that we come to know about the divine will expands also our capacity to receive, prepares us to arrive to the union, to the possession. Every single act that you do in union with the divine will brings you closer and closer to arrive to the possession of the divine will operating in you. So when Luisa Picaretta says lack of union with Jesus is what causes us to sin, it says union with Jesus floods all sins. Love kills all passions, and abandonment in Him and trust are the nourishment in order to grow in sanctity. And we know that to be holy is to be set apart for a certain purpose. We are set apart for God. In baptism, we are set apart for God. And what makes us grow in that union with God, of course, is the sacraments. But right now, through this way of living, which was the life that Adam possessed, this is the way we were designed to operate. This is what is missing in us. Basically, this is the chip that is missing in us to fully function, to really achieve the original version of ourselves. You know how, I'm going to give an example. You know how they, in technology, you have different phones, different numbers, and always one is more advanced than the other, and you can do other more things and the new ones and all of that. And you have always new versions, and the new is always better than the old one and all of that. But in God's eyes, the new version is not the best version. The new version of man, or what the world tells us that is the new version of man, is not the best. In God's eyes, the best version is the way Adam was created. You see, sacred scripture then is fulfilled. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God does not think as we men think. For God, the best version of the human beings, of humanity, is the way He created Adam. And this is the way we were designed to operate. Now He's given us now the means to go back as the prodigal son came to his senses and realized I had to go back to my father. Now, through these writings, he's hoping that we may see that we have squandered, that Adam basically squanders what God gave him. Now we are in this dire need. We have to come to our senses and to ask our Heavenly Father for this gift that is already available, that He really wants to give us. Just as the Father was waiting for the prodigal son to come, he looked from afar and he saw the son coming. He's just waiting, looking for somebody who says, or somebody who will say, I give you my will. And immediately he will take it. Probably will not be even finishing the sentence when he will take it away immediately. Because this is the original version. This is what makes us complete. So that's why Luisa Picarreta here, she says, that's why she identifies, you know, St. Paul identifies the root of all evils. He says, money is the root of all evils. St. Augustine says, So St. Paul says, the root of all evils is love of money. St. Augustine says, the human will is the root of all evils. Luisa Picarreta basically identifies here that the root of all evils is separation from the divine will. To operate apart from the divine will is basically what caused all the degradation of men. And that's why we feel all this inclination to sin. Even after baptism, concupiscence remains, and we still have to work to make an effort. So we have the sacramental life of the church to help us. And so that's basically, I would say, the center of this letter that she's given. She's writing to the priest. To Father Bernardo. So it's the same for us. This lesson it can be a lesson for all of us. It is for all of us. Lack of union with Jesus is what causes to sin. And until we are united with the will of God, then we will not be able to be, we will not be complete. Something will be lacking. Even if you are so pious, even if we are so virtuous and do so many good things, which is very good, still we'll be lacking that union, the divine life operating in us. But if we ask for this gift to operate in us, He will give it to us. As I said, even before you finish the sentence giving your will, He will take your will in case you change your mind. So Luisa Picarreta really, really understands the divine will. She's the first creature born in original sin that needed to be baptized. The first one with the full knowledge of what does it mean to operate in the divine will, right? Born in original sin, taught by our Lord Jesus, formed by our Lord Jesus. And now once she learns to operate in this way, and she arrives to the possession. In the life of Luisa Picarreta, we see a journey too. Someone who is formed, someone who is tempted, someone who has doubts, and at the same time, someone who perseveres and believes, and someone who arrives at the possession of this gift that Adam lost, now with the full knowledge. That's why she's the first of her kind, the first daughter of the divine will, the firstborn of the divine will. Because other saints, they understood a little, sparkles of light. The one that comes to mind right away is Brother Lawrence. He saw that everything was in the presence of God. Everything became a prayer. But he didn't have the knowledge of how it operated. He didn't have the knowledge of why and how to go back. And all of this divine science, all the teaching that the Lord gives to Luisa Picaretta. So now that's why she is the first one. Some of the other saints, they, of course, they have, we can say, sparkles of light. They sought to be united with the will of God. And in some way, they did. But to arrive to the possession of what Adam lost, that's why Luisa Picaretta is the first one. And this is what we are called to do from now on. Not only to be pious, not only to be virtuous, not only to be good, but really not only to do the will of God by following the Ten Commandments, but to arrive to the possession. To arrive to the possession of the divine will operating in us 24/7. So that divine will operating always. I think we can leave it there for today. And then we can finish with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the blessing of my mighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Did you stop the recording already?
Hold on, Father. No, I was trying.